What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So we had fun with the picture that you had tweeted yesterday with Terry and Adam Peters talking. If you had to caption that conversation, what would Grant Paulson caption it?
I don't think they were even talking much about the contract. But I guess, hey, it's time, man. Let's get to work. Whenever you're ready to pay me, would have been my caption. But I think this was Adam Peters checking in with Terry McLaurin. Like, he's a people guy, right? He's a people person. My guess is they've had conversations in the building. I have a hard time believing they haven't walked past one another in the hallway over the last couple weeks or something. So that was just another conversation that they've had. But I'll bet you there's some element of checking in. How are you holding up with everything? I know this is frustrating. Maybe checking on, hey, what kind of football shape do you think you're in? How close are you to being able to play when you get back, if you were to come back soon? I mean, are they actually pretending behind the scenes like this ankle's a thing in some way? I doubt it. But could he be asking about the ankle?
Or do
they just pretend at press conferences like the ankle's actually a problem?
But Grant, did you read the you know, they use AI now. They just not only have amateur lip readers, they have AI will lip read. And the one thing that they all seem to have in common is at one point, allegedly, Terry said, I just want to play ball. How do you interpret that?
I believe that. That's funny. I did not see any of that, but
yeah,
that's not surprising. All this technology is both incredible and in some way petrifying.
Totally.
And it's going to doom us all. But yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, if they're having a conversation where they're like, hey, let, you know, we're getting closer, man. It's August 12th. Like, let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what he says to the media too, right? He's going to give some type of very non-threatening, non-informative line to Peters as well, because it's not his job to negotiate. You see what happened in Dallas too, Eric, right? Where supposedly Jerry Jones goes to Micah Parsons and tries to get a deal done without his agent around, and it blows up in his face. So they're not going to try to talk numbers or negotiate.
Totally.
I could absolutely see Terry just reiterating over and over again, hey, man, I love football. I want to play football.
Just get me
out
of here.
Let's go play football.
Right.
Exactly.
But I will say this, and this is, again, these guys, like Jason in particular, rolls his eyes when I say this. I truly believe it's one of my best skills. I don't have many skills. I got like one or two. I think I'm great at people reading. That when I saw that, I didn't think like antagonistic, we want to knock each other out. But I also didn't think like high-fiving, these are two best buddies right now. You know what I'm saying? It seemed there was
But they may not be like that even if he has a deal.
They might not. But I just sensed a little tension, just the way the hoodie, the hands in the pot. It was a little standoffishness. I mean, I think it was fine. I'm not saying it was bad, but it was different than him like hanging around Jaden and hanging around, you know, even DQ and some of the coaches.
Which is totally expected, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
If you're in a massive contract standoff and your agent and CK are at odds and screaming at each other, you know, and you're at the radio station, you're not going to be sitting in his office high-fiving him, right?
100%.
So I think that is probably true. The body language, I'm not a body language guy. I hate when people are like, he looks upset, he looks this. But he's got the hoodie pulled over his head. He's kind of slouching and walking. Yeah, it's not – he did not look like he was, you know, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. That having been said, he had a choice to not be down there yesterday. What was notable about yesterday to me was, Eric, he had not been at a practice – like while it was going on at any point during any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that fans weren't there, but there have been a lot of practices when we're out there and fans aren't there. There's never been less fan access at practices than this year. And he made the decision to waddle down to the field. Now, I think the reason was this scrimmage that they did yesterday, that, which they really leaned heavily into, by the way, and like made a big deal.
Right.
It was a fun thing for the players, and there was a lot of trash talk in the building, and they did a coin toss, and they were giving something away to the winners. And I think he misses it. I think he was intrigued and wanted to see it and wanted to watch, and it kind of was cooler and more fun than sitting in the training room doing nothing, talking to the same guys for the 83rd straight day. So that tells me something, too. Like, he is itching. We knew that, but this is evidence of that. And he didn't have to be talking to Adam Peters. It could just be a, you know, a nod and keep it moving. I think it's amicable enough. I guess this would be my point. I'll say this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for him to sit out the season or week one or something, which I still don't think is a possibility.
I agree.
He has to have more venom and more anger and more animus and just more vitriol than almost every player that's held out over the last several years, because none of them actually are willing to go into the season.
Right.
And yesterday, to me, as he's talking to Peters, or previously when he's dapping up Harris or hugging Jaden Daniels' mom or whatever, he does not come off like a guy that is so livid that he's going to hold out into the season in a borderline unprecedented move during this CBA.
Well, I agree. And I think, honestly, it'd be career suicide when you see guys do this. I mean, largely, it just doesn't work. Like, if you start missing games, your career goes downhill. You don't have the resume laid. It just doesn't work.
And so, I don't know if this helps at all. It could be just making something up. But James Cook just re-signed with Buffalo.
Right.
I don't know if he got more than what he was asking. I doubt. He's probably got a little bit less. But he signed, and he was missing practice in Buffalo, and now he's out there, and he's got his new deal. So maybe that helps a little bit. I don't know.
Do you think the fact that it seems to be, you've been out there, but it seems to be the theme from listening to Keim and everybody that's out there every day, standing all your buddies, right? It seems to be that the offense has had the better of it. That may be normal, right? Like, I don't know. What is it in baseball? Pitchers usually have better of the hitters or whatever it is early in. But it seems like the one thing people are noticing is the lack of depth at receiver. Not a lot of production yesterday, apparently, in the Burgundy and Gold game. Obviously, not a lot of in the joint practice. Is this helping Terry's negotiating at all? A dollar's worth? Is it helping him for pennies? Is it helping it at all?
It can't be a zero.
Yeah.
That in their first preseason game, Chris Moore drops two passes and KJ Osborne drops two passes, and you know the veteran receivers in the room basically don't show any ability to make plays. It can't be a zero. Do I think it's going to change their negotiational tactic, or Adam Peters walks into Brandon Sostin's office, who's doing the contract, and says, get this thing done? No. But like, it's also overstated when I had a bunch of people, you know, blowing up my timeline suggesting, like, well, these receivers don't matter at all. Who cares if they're dropping passes? What are you talking about? Right now, Terry McLaurin's not on the team. So until he is, you don't count him on the receiver room. Noah Brown's been hurt for weeks. By the way, Noah Brown is always hurt. Noah Brown is not a Texan because he got hurt a lot. Noah Brown came here and had an injury initially. Mm-hmm. Noah Brown finished last year unavailable to play with a lacerated spleen. Noah Brown got hurt in minicamp. Noah Brown's hurt now in training camp. So everyone's just like, well, Noah Brown will be back. He'll be your number two. Until he isn't, possibly. Like, that is the book, right? Debo I don't view as this traditional receiver, although he'll line up at receiver plenty. But my point is, when you go out to practice, yesterday I'm watching practice, you know who's running at number one wide receiver a ton?
I'm afraid
Luke
to hear
McCaffrey
it.
And KJ Osborne.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, when I was at number, you know, basically on the first team starting offense for the first 10 days of training camp, Chris Moore got as many first-team reps as anybody not named Debo Samuel and Luke McCaffrey, the guy that dropped the two passes in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So it might very well be true that he is the wide receiver six or five or whatever when their plan comes to fruition in 3 weeks. But for right now, on their first rep of an 11-on-11 or yesterday's fake game that they played, KJ Osborne is opposite Luke McCaffrey, Debo Samuel's in motion, and Jaden Daniels is had the worst practice I've ever seen him have, which is not a big deal, but it's also related.
Like, yeah.
He was sub 50%. They were constantly throwing incomplete passes to covered receivers. He was the least sharp he's been. By the way, the offense got absolutely dominated yesterday. Barely got first downs. Couldn't get across midfield. Didn't score a point. I'm not overly concerned about that. But your point is, does any of that matter? And I would say, how could it not, at least if you're Adam Peters, confirm your prior that you're probably not good enough at receiver if McLaurin and Brown aren't available to you? And we are now 3 weeks away from a real football game.
That's why they need each other.
It's got to happen soon.
They need each other.
Something's got to happen, or it's not going to happen at all. He's just got to play on the deal. Like, you know what I mean?
So maybe yesterday was a trigger, and Peter says, all right, you know what? We're terrible at this position. And like Grant said, we can't rely on Noah. So maybe they just get a deal done here in the next week.
Be nice.
It would be.
Let me ask you about the defensive side of the ball. Listen, I'm optimistic about this team, despite it seems, you know, it actually seems like we're getting kind of like not amazing early reviews, you know, for a season that I'm excited about. We're also distracted with the Terry stuff. But a big question mark for me, and I think for everyone, is Lattimore. Jason is telling me that his source is telling that Lattimore has looked great so far. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard otherwise, but
it might be just his opinion.
Yeah, but he might be looking a little better.
We haven't heard bad things about
him. No, I haven't. I just haven't heard a lot about him. What have you noticed with Lattimore? Because, you know, he could be the first swing and miss, in my opinion, unless he gets a lot better.
I agree with whoever Jason's talking to. I mean, Lattimore's had a really good camp. Okay. And looks healthier, and like he can turn and run better and move better than he did last year. Now, I'll be honest. He should look really good when he's going up against. Like, he's rarely defending Deebo Samuel the way that the alignment's structured and the motion and all that stuff. So most of the time, it's him against either a Luke McCaffrey or one of these veteran Jags to be named later. So that's kind of my big question with the corners in general. They've had an excellent camp.
Mm-hmm.
They look really good. Like, I have been blown away by that position group. Is it because it's a tell that this receiver room is just not very good, or are they a lot better? I actually think it's both. Lattimore's been, I would say, very solid, had a good camp. The guy that's been fantastic is the rookie Trey Amos.
Right.
I love this kid.
Yeah.
People saw very little bit of him in the preseason game. You'll see him hopefully more against the Bengals, but he was targeted on a throw into the end zone from the high red, great coverage, had a nice play where he was a willing physical tackler at the line of scrimmage. In practice, constantly draped over top of receivers. Again, probably benefiting maybe from who he's running with, but sometimes it's Deebo. You know, sometimes it is. KJ Osborne has had seasons in the NFL. So, like, those two guys on the outside with Sanra still on the inside, that's a pretty good trio if Lattimore holds up. And by the way, Sanra's still in that scrimmage that they did yesterday. The first two passes from Daniels, which were incomplete, I mean, he had pass breakups. He was basically all over Deebo Samuel on short and intermediate stuff. I think Sanra still could legitimately be excellent. Like, he could be a star nickel corner. The reason they drafted him in round two was to play that position. So now you've got a guy like Noah Igbinoghene, who had one of their better games against the Patriots in the preseason, mm-hmm. who last year at times was like a number two, number three corner. Now he's fourth or fifth on the depth chart. They've shoved everybody down by adding multiple pieces here. Jonathan Jones didn't play in the scrimmage yesterday, but is a pretty solid veteran who's had a good camp. So I think it's their most improved position, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Who looked good on the other second team offense, Hartman's offense?
You know who had the best day on the second team offense was Demetric Felton, the running mm-hmm. back who led them in rushing attempts and yards.
Yeah.
We were talking about this on G&D yesterday. So think about it this way. Their running back room, guys, is basically like a starting rotation with a bunch of fourth starters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They don't have a great running back. I will acknowledge that. But they are deeper with Jag-type, like NFL-caliber running backs than they've had in a while in this sense. Brian Robinson, Eckler is really good in his role. This kid, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, everybody's talking about, is going to make the team. Chris Rodriguez averaged 5 yards a carry in his career so far, plays well whenever he plays. I don't think there's a big gap between him and Robinson. He probably doesn't make the team. Jeremy McNichols last year played a ton, was one of their better players in some games. He may not make the team if they don't keep four. And then you've got Felton, who's played in the NFL, been on fantasy teams, who led them in rushing in the preseason, who was maybe the best player on the field in terms of stats in this scrimmage game yesterday. So they got five guys for three or four spots. They're going to cut veterans that end up getting carries somewhere.
What about, we keep asking people, what about Kinlaw? Because I feel like he's kind of a pivotal piece of the defense. I haven't heard much.
So it's been very quiet on him, I would acknowledge, but I think that's maybe the plan. My guess is they've brought him in here. And they, by the way, it's so funny to me that they're so worried about paying Terry McLaurin a few million too much.
I know.
And the contract they gave Javon Kinlaw. Still, when I talk to people, like all these national folks
that
come in to cover the team for practice for a day, they're like, I don't know, man. That makes
sense.
I can't
believe they gave him that much.
Yeah. But having said that, I think their plan is they had to get better stopping the run. Saquon Barkley is the key to the king, has the key to the kingdom for the Eagles and is the team that they're chasing. And they're going to basically ask him to be like a smart car in the middle of the formation. Like, I promise you guys, he's the biggest person I've ever seen on a football
field. That's what everyone says.
I mean, you can't, like, it's almost embarrassing to say, but like, he walks past you and you kind of go, holy crap, like that's a huge human being. Yeah. So I think they're just going to ask him to take up space, take on blocks, be a space eater so that Payne and Newton can actually pass rush and get up the field. And I say that to say, like, that's not sexy. You're not going to notice that very often. And that's probably what's been happening. But he's not a guy that has flashed or stood out to me a ton. There have certainly been times where he's gotten into the backfield for a TFL or he's gotten a pressure that maybe could have been a sack if they blew a whistle. But he's been quiet. I would say of the new guys that they brought in defensively, the guy that I think that's really stood out, and I thought he was awesome in the scrimmage game yesterday, was the safety Will Harris from the Saints.
Mm.
I wonder if he can cover a little better than Jeremy Chinn. You know, the way that they're deploying him and using him, it seems like he runs with guys in the middle of the field more. The book on him was, this is a thumper, this is a physical, violent hitter, a guy that is one of the most, I hate using the word feared, but like the players that everyone knows just doesn't give a bleep and will pay the fine basically in the league. He actually had a play in the scrimmage yesterday on the sideline where Michael Gallup was trying to catch a pass that had been broken up by Amos and was like popped up in the air. And Gallup's like got his toes down just inside the chalk, and he's bringing in the ball, and Harris comes and eviscerates him, and the ball goes flying. And Cliff Kingsbury, who was essentially playing head coach yesterday in the scrimmage, comes over and he's like, Will, we don't need that. We don't need that. But like, he can't even, on a game like yesterday, he can't even hold himself back. But he's been really good. Like, he had a couple of huge moments yesterday in the scrimmage where I said, all right, this guy might be able to play a little bit.
During the scrimmage, would Quinn go out there and stop play and I don't know, teach or coach and point out certain things, or they just stay off the field?
Jason, it was super cool. It was like, I'd imagine, I've never been to one. I'm sure you have. It was like a spring game for college.
Yeah.
So basically, like, different colored jerseys. They did a coin toss. Everything was authentic to a game. The only time they did anything that was not, like, game situation. I mean, I've quite literally never seen a team have, like, that legitimate a game with each other was there was a fourth down play at close to midfield where Daniels threw an incomplete pass on, like, a middle-of-the-field dig to K.J. Osborne, and the referees ruled it incomplete. And Dan Quinn came out and challenged it and pretended like it had been overturned, probably because the offense literally couldn't get a first down or stay on the field. Then they got a new set of downs and immediately went three and out after that. But that was the only time where something happened where you're like, what was that? Like, that wasn't a football game. Everything else, it was – and the other kind of quirky thing was, and maybe not surprising, nobody ever punted. It's like fourth and 10, fourth and 12.
Going for it, yeah.
As long as they were past like the 40-yard line, everybody was going for it, which was kind of fun. But
well, Trent barely punted last year.
What's that?
Trent barely punted last year.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of going for it on fourth down as it is because you got the cheat code and Jaden Daniels. But I love that Dan Quinn's idea on this thing was to let some of the assistants execute the play calls. So Tavita Pritchard, the quarterback's coach, was the OC on one sideline, and then you had Brian Johnson, the former OC play caller of the Eagles, on the other sideline. And you could tell he was having fun. They ran a hook and ladder by design, like a Ben Johnson hook and ladder in the high red that worked, which was cool. They ran a speed option. I think those guys had a lot of fun getting to actually call plays.
And they're off today, right? And then back at it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so no media access today. They've got a long break. The reason they even did this was when the schedule came out, they knew they were a little bit screwed. So they got that Friday night New England game and then had to wait all the way to Monday.
Monday, right.
So Dan Quinn was super worried about just the monotony that sets in and not – you're supposed to be ramping this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they came up with this plan to have this kind of de facto game yesterday. And then, yeah, they'll be back working out at the facility through Saturday. Sunday will be closed, and then Monday night football with the Bengals in town. And Cincinnati supposedly is going to play their starters a ton in that game, which will be cool.
They're trying to flip
I'm hoping we see a lot of starters for Washington.
Me too. I'm skeptical about any length for the starters. Like, what do you guys think? I mean, I personally would love to see the offense and Jaden Daniels play for a few quarters.
I would like to see a quarter.
Well, you know, I was convinced, exactly. Grant, I don't know who it was to explain it, probably Keim, that I know we got to go break, but that, you know, Brady and the Patriots, they always use controlled scrimmages, right? Or whatever they call those things. Not, you know,
joint practices
to get Brady the reps so he wouldn't get hurt, right? And so if Jaden's getting great reps, don't they have one more controlled or what are the joint practices? I keep getting those excuses.
Yeah, they're going to do it with Baltimore coming.
Yeah,
up.
So maybe that's just what they do, and I'd rather see it myself, but they all say those are better.
They're certainly more helpful for the coaches because you can dictate what happens. Mm-hmm. If you want Jaden to work on red zone, goal line, you know, any sequence like that, you can dictate that you do rather than a game where it may not happen. and you can control that nobody's touching him, which is obviously huge. So, yeah, I get why they prefer the joint practices.
And we got to go, Grant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it. No,
I'm sorry. I went too late.
It's our pal Grant Paulson.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Thank you.
You can listen to him 2 o'clock, giving us his account from what went down yesterday.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District
what
of
Columbia. What do deadlines do, JP?
And James Cook just got paid.
Hey, deadlines make deals, baby.
Look at that. Now, everybody here in Washington, very, very focused on the Terry McLaurin situation. B, I no lie had a dream about the contract situation last night. I'll tell you about it. Yeah, it was bizarre.
Damn, Jay, you really thinking about this stuff. They say you normally dream about what you go to bed thinking of.
I'm trying to figure stuff out, man. I'm trying to figure things out. But here's what we know. James Cook, Buffalo Bills, just got paid. That's a running back getting paid. That is clearly big deal for Buffalo. This is a young man that's been very good for them. Now, let's do some NFL math. People, welcome into B. Mitch and Finley. His name's Brian Mitchell. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big ear blogger. We're streaming if you want to stream along with us. If you want to see what we look like today. Actually, B, do you recognize this shirt?
No.
About the back?
TPC.
Yeah, man, with a voodoo doll.
Oh,
I thought you'd like
shucks.
It. One thing that's really important for us all to remember is James Cook, running back for the Bills, who has shown some real promise, right?
Yep.
Young guy, his older brother's Dalvin Cook, if you're familiar with his work, famously with the Vikings, but he's bounced around a little bit.
Banged up a little bit.
Yep. I think James Cook is a Georgia Bulldog. James Cook.
He's a Bulldog!
The Mississippi State Bulldog! I hope Fred heard that one. We have to play my B. Mitch impression from yesterday, by the way. In the last two seasons, James Cook has gone for probably close to 3,000 yards from scrimmage. And last season, he had 16 touchdowns on the ground, 18 total touchdowns, 2-time Pro Bowler. So James Cook was holding out. Then James Cook decided to hold in.
Uh-huh.
Then James Cook decided, I'm going to practice because I feel like this thing's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
And then this morning, I believe it was this morning, maybe it was last night, forgive me, James Cook signed a 4-year, $48 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of that $48 million, $30 million is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is this is probably a 2-year contract extension at 15 a pop is my guess.
Hey,
I haven't seen the numbers to know for sure.
You think he's complaining about 15 per?
Definitely not. I also know that James Cook is still under contract this year for the last year of his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an extension, right? This goes above and beyond. But I think if you are a Commanders fan, and I don't want to extrapolate too much, right? Like, these are different situations, different teams, different positions, different age groups for sure. But if you want to extrapolate, and you want some optimism regarding the Terry McLaurin situation, what have we seen with Terry? We saw him hold out. Then we saw him hold in. Then yesterday, we saw him at practice. Now, he did not practice. I can't imagine his first day in a ramp-up period would have been a full-pad scrimmage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he was out there.
Yeah.
We saw him talk with Adam Peters. Depending on if you believe the lip-reading AI services, it seemed like maybe there was some real conversation about let's get this done. Who knows? Maybe they were talking about...
Who was reading lips that closely?
Dog, these AI programs, man.
They full of crap.
I don't know.
Listen, man, let's just go here.
Ignore the lip-reading.
I don't remember the lip-reading.
But the process is...
But I mean,
some similarities.
This is basically what happens all the time. People go through a situation where they seem like they're upset. One guy said, I'm going to hold out. The other people act like they're going to hold, stand pat. They begin to talk, they get a deal done. I mean, it's going through the thing like it does all the time. And like you're right, James Cook's deal has nothing to do with this deal. I think this deal had to go through the process. You know? And listen, if a deal isn't going to happen, they'd have made a move by now, I think. Because there are people that will trade for him. And
you talking about Terry or
yes,
Cook?
Yes, I'm talking about Terry. I'm off of Buffalo Bills. They can everybody else can keep over there. The deal with Terry is going to take care of itself as soon as it's time to take care of it. And I think it's coming soon. That's just my belief.
I do too, B. I think, and I'm not just basing it on Terry being at practice yesterday. I think that's an important part of this. I've thought all along it's going to be a time thing. And I think Washington's offense getting bogged down in spots doesn't necessarily hurt Terry's options. But, dude, both of these teams need each other. Like, that's not to suggest there aren't other ways to go. Of course, this is the United States of America. There's always another way. This is the planet Earth. Things can always happen and change. But, like, Washington needs Terry. Jaden needs Terry. The offense needs Terry.
Yeah.
And Terry's under contract for this year. So, like, if he wants to increase what he knows his guarantees will be, the best way to do it is to sign now. That doesn't mean that, B, we were in New England. How many people talked to you about Terry up there?
Everybody else, huh?
Everybody. They're obsessed with getting McLaurin.
Yep.
And I keep telling them it's not going to happen. But I just think we're getting closer and closer.
Terry on this team helps his team get to where they want to go. Terry on somebody else's team, and no matter what you get for it, don't help this team get to where they want to go at that point, because this offense being dominant helps you move forward. And for the most part, there's nobody from the trade you a receiver that's better than Terry right now.
No. No. It's mid-August, dude. Like, if things were going to happen, generally the dudes you're going to get in mid-August – unless there's some massive trade coming, which I wouldn't expect, I think you get Terry, I think you get a deal done relatively soon. And it's kind of what we said when they got to camp in mid-July or late July, whatever it was, the 24th-ish. Like, yeah, they've got time. Zach Ertz, I think he was on SportsCenter. I don't remember where Zach Ertz said it, but he said, he's like, yeah, you know, it's 7 weeks until week one. I don't think this is a primary concern. But the news this morning, James Cook getting paid by the Bills. You can believe the number his agent wants you to believe, which is 4 years, $48 million. Or you can believe that it's $30 million guaranteed. If you look around the league, the highest paid running backs, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, are both making about $20 million a year. Saquon's making over 20. CMC's making 19. Then you've got Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor at that 14, 15 mark. I think James Cook can get there because he's been really, really good, and the Bills know they want to keep him. And the market just keeps going up.
Yep.
So my guess is, what is 4 and 48 is 12, right? And 4 times 12, 48?
Yeah.
But if it's 30 guaranteed, maybe it's 12 a year and they guaranteed a little into a third year. Maybe they gave him, what would that be? A $6 million roster bonus is guaranteed on the third day of the league year.
You like dissecting that. I don't care. It ain't my money.
Sure.
Whatever those numbers are, they are. I don't give a damn about it. All I know is he signed a deal that was bigger than the one he had.
Correct. And I don't know. I think I almost want to open the phones off the top here. I know we tried to do this yesterday, but we just had so much going on out at practice. Like, James Cook just got into camp. There are more and more people kind of getting done. And I just wonder if people are feeling better. I think even Jeff's crazy ass, the roller coaster that is Jeff Walker, is feeling better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the Terry situation, I literally had a dream about it last night that I was like in this weird office building.
Getting a little deep in that thing, man.
I was in this office building talking with Terry, and he told me where they're at and where they needed to be, and that he thought it was close. Now, those numbers were cockamamie. They were not real, but it was interesting. It was very bizarre to have a dream about it. I can tell you that. Perhaps I need
that is bizarre.
Perhaps I need a hobby.
Bizarro world.
How are you? How you feeling? You've been fighting this little head cold.
I'm good. I am very good.
Get some sleep. You take those NyQuil, you sleep, dog.
I slept great. I got great REM sleep, deep sleep, all that.
Did you, what, your Aura Ring?
Aura
you
Ring all the- hooked me up. But it did, like yesterday, it says something is really stressing your body. Today, it was very, very mild. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out now how the hell this ring can tell you so much.
I mean, how does it work? It's just, it's right on your bloodstream or whatever?
It got sensors and stuff in it, you know, so I don't know. It's just, it's interesting, dog.
Jeff, if people are calling in about the James Cook thing, go ahead and take those calls. I'm trying to log into this computer from 1986. I think this is the computer Steve Jobs built in his parents' garage. I think the James Cook thing in a vacuum has absolutely nothing to do with Terry. But if you want to just be kind of intelligent about the way the league works, you know what teams are realizing is we got a game in 3 weeks.
What they're realizing is the people we have, we better damn sure get them signed and move forward with them.
I am curious kind of what the latest is in Cincinnati with Trey Hendrickson. It'll be very cool to see the Bengals Monday night because that's a team that offensively, they're fantastic. And that's never been their issue. It's defensively. You know, did you see how the Bengals did in their first preseason game, B?
Yeah, they came out and Joe Burrow was balling.
Certainly. Joe Burrow balling has not been the problem in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow went 9 of 10 for .123 with 2 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase had 4 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. None of that is a surprise. What should concern the people in Cincinnati? Are you familiar with Tanner McKee's work?
No, don't know who he is.
He's the backup to Jalen Hurts. I believe he's a Stanford product. Tanner McKee in this game. Now, granted, they're not game planning. The Eagles have a lot of talent, all that. I understand. Tanner McKee went 20 of 25 for 250 and 2 touchdowns, bro.
Mm-hmm. Their defense has been a problem.
Yeah. Like, your defense has been a problem. I think you got to get Hendrickson back on the field to try to slow down dudes like Tanner McKee, let alone.
Realize that team been cheap for years, dog. Their mantra has always been, they have an offense that's okay, and their defense hasn't been. They may not change. Knowing them, I mean, they may waste a damn good Joe Burrow, Chase, you know, and the Higgins. They may waste it by not. Look, they might have to average 45 a game to go and do what they got to do, what they want to do.
Hell, what did they average last year?
They averaged a lot. And they won how many games?
I think they went 8-9.
You know?
No, so they went 9-8 last year. 9-8. Still missed the playoffs.
And how many points they scored per game?
They
scored 30-something against us and lost, right?
They were 28. They averaged 28 a game, 6th in the NFL.
They might need to score 35, 36.
They really might. The defense was ranked 25th. They gave up 26 a game. And, dude, playing in that AFC North where – I don't know what the Steelers are going to be. I don't know what the Browns are going to be, but you know what the Ravens are going to be. Like, do you see any chance the Ravens don't win double-digit games?
No, Ravens are going to be tough.
Unless Lamar gets hurt. I mean, that's always a caveat, but that caveat exists for most NFL teams. Trying to open these. I might need you to just pot up callers if we got a bunch because I got VX going. Let's hit these phones to start. Let's go to Austin is in Fairfax.
Austin, what up, Austin?
James Cook has signed, and Terry McLaurin watched his first practice of the year yesterday. How you feeling?
I think everybody's getting signed except Terry McLaurin is starting to get really frustrating. I mean, is it really worth, you know, $4 or $5 million that Terry's asking for to jeopardize a Super Bowl run with Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin? And I also don't think that it makes sense whatsoever to jeopardize losing Terry McLaurin when we just signed Deebo Samuel. Like, what is Deebo Samuel going to do without Terry McLaurin?
I think that's right, but I think there's positive momentum. I don't know that they're $4 or $5 million away. I think it's more about guarantees over the long term. But you're not incorrect, dude. So you don't feel better considering where things are right now.
Not at the moment, no. I mean, honestly, it's just getting frustrating at this point. I mean, I've been looking forward to this season more than any other season in my entire life, and with this whole entire Terry situation, it's making me real nervous. I mean, I'm even worried about playing the Giants week one, especially with that defensive line.
I mean, the Giants D-line looks good. Abdul Carter looks really good. Austin, are you a nervous guy by nature?
Yeah.
Austin, I was about to say, Austin don't care about Dalvin Cook. He don't care about Terry being in practice. He already upset. He don't care. He didn't have to. All that stuff that came happened yesterday didn't change him one bit.
Thank you for calling, Austin. Appreciate you listening, buddy.
He said, not at all. I can hear it in his voice.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
See you, man. We got Austin needs some.
They could have said that. Oh, they're talking now. He wouldn't have cared.
What do you call it? Ashwagandha stuff that calms your brain down.
Yeah,
a little
ashwagandha.
Bit. Ashwagandha is a real thing. It's not weed, Landfill. It's a herb. I believe it's an herb, not marijuana.
Somebody probably.
I thought ganja was what you were trying to come up with.
That's another. That's more potent. That has psychedelic impacts. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. Eli, you feeling better, dog?
I'm feeling better. For me, it's not over to the fat lady things, man. This happens every year. You have to understand that coaches, in between these practices, they're sitting down, they're having conversations about the production and the gap. For me, I think not having Terry McLaurin sign is going to create a production gap, right? Not saying that we can't fill that gap. I do feel that five can fill that production gap for you, but does he have to? Should he? The preparation work that's going to go into this thing, if you don't have a legitimate wide receiver play, it's just going to ask a lot of the coaches. It's going to ask a lot of other guys. It's going to ask of other guys to step up. You're going to potentially see other points that maybe you just didn't want to see. You talk about certain things getting swept under the rug. I'm not a believer. I don't want stuff swept under the rug. I want everything how it needs to be. But I think certain points will start to show themselves, because when the lights get big, five is going to show up and he's going to put the team, he's going to strap the team on his back and do what needs to be done. But you as an organization have to protect your investment to see and say, hey, man, we know he has the gas. He can put his foot on the gas and he can just absolutely take over a game. But let's help him out. It's going to change. It's going to require a lot of these other skill position guys to be ready to roll. If you don't know what your position is, if you got a three by, if you got a set, and you need somebody to move to the other side, and now he don't know what his new responsibility is, now you are hurting our investment as a long term, because now he has to start making up for things, and the risk factor raises up.
Yeah,
because he has to say, man, I need to put my cape on. I'm getting to the playoffs.
See the thing about
he's getting there.
That's what they need to avoid. Five putting on his cape.
He's going. He's gonna get there. He don't care if he by himself. His mindset, he's going. Also, Steve Young talked about him being the prototypical guy. I know you got to cut me loose. If you could just talk about that. I don't know if y'all got to check it out.
That's at 11:30, dog. Yeah,
we saw it.
It's on the show sheet. Don't worry.
It was killing. Steve Young talked about how great of a guy and of a prototype he is.
That's understandable. And, but you don't want him to have to be putting on a cape.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you for the call,
Eli.
You know,
it's like having a Bugatti. You better put that thing. In the wintertime, you put your stuff where you need to be. You know how it is. You got that Ferrari. Hey, Joe, I need my tires. I ain't getting no snow and no dust and no crap on my tires. I'm putting my stuff away how it needs to be to protect it. That's what they need to do, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Eli. Eli got a lot to say. Not incorrect. I think you're right. Yeah, I like the comment about the
main thing he said, five will throw on his cape. You don't want five to throw on his cape. You don't want him to have to do much.
Not for 17 games.
If you can help him, you want to help him to where he only throws on that cape in necessary situations. You don't want the whole damn game to be a necessary situation.
Totally agree with that. I think Terry McLaurin helps a lot in that capacity. Phone lines started jumping early. I'm not the only one excited about James Cook getting a
anybody care about James Cook, James?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
They care about Terry.
It's the time of year is what I know.
They are not concerned about James Cook. They just, Terry was outside yesterday, dog. And whatever makes them think more about him possibly getting closer, that's all that matters.
Catch me outside.
But I want to start, Darius, with the idea that the initial ask from Terry McLaurin, in his opinion, may have shocked the team. This is what he said.
I think what happened, the way I understand it is, you know, when negotiations first opened, I think the Commanders were a little stunned by initially what Terry McLaurin and his camp really gunning for in those negotiations.
Stunned.
Yep.
It's a big word. How much money would it take for Terry and his agent to ask for the Commanders, do you think, to be like taken aback, shocked, and really legitimately bothered?
35. North of CeeDee Lamb, you know, right around that Justin Jefferson territory, a guy that signed it at age 24, 25, I think, for him. Short of Jamar Chase, but that level of, hey, I've been really productive. The cap has gone up. Pay me like I'm the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, we know what they think. We think, based on reports, that they've been in the 24, 25 range. That's what they want to pay him. So I would say anything above 30 is going to be kind of like a, really? Are you kidding me? From their perspective. Mm. If it's above DK at 33, I think that's when you go, all right, dude, there's nothing to talk about here because you're a crazy person.
Yeah, there's a difference between going, we'd prefer not to pay that, and shocked.
Right. I think 28, 29 million, we'd prefer not to pay that.
Right.
Maybe even 30, 31. Dude, we can't do that. That's not what you should be making. Well, if you get up to 35, which is Justin Jefferson money, now you go, okay, you just don't understand what you don't understand. It's like the guy that comes in here on his second day and sits down in CK's office and goes, I'd like to be hosting in Morning Drive with the Junkies. And he's like, that's just something a crazy person would do.
Yeah.
You should ask for a couple of shifts on the weekend. You know, you right. Let's just start and work our way up, right? The $35 million might be that threshold. Darius Charles Robinson on Terry McLaurin's original offer and where we are now, in his opinion.
I think everyone's being careful about not saying what the initial number was, but I will say it was what the initial number was high enough that it almost completely broke down conversation instantaneously between the two parties. Like, I think the Commanders were stunned at initially what the ask was. And to me, the inference is this was like nearly top tier one money. So are we talking $35 million annual average value? Are we talking beyond 35? Are we talking creeping up to 40? Like, what was the initial ask? I think as things moved for both sides, I think we got to this point of the DK Metcalf contract, the $33 million a year, the $60 plus million guaranteed.
So high, according to Charles Robinson, that the Commanders basically said, get out of our office and come back when you and your agent have a clue. You know, come back when you understand what the market is for your agent, for your player, you know, your client's age, so to speak.
Yeah, it was after a while that they got back down to the DK number instead of, now I understand that if you want to, if you're the agent, you want to settle on DK Metcalf at 32 and a half, 33, you don't walk in asking for 32 and a half, 33, you asking for more and you hope that's the compromise. But that's kind of the sense I had, is that it's from what Charles Robinson's saying, is that they asked for much higher than that, and that's a non-starter. That's not even worth talking about. And as business picked up, as conversations happen over time, they now work down to, okay, we're asking for this, and the team still obviously isn't willing to pay that.
Which, to me, isn't newsy or notable. I mean, it is, because nobody's said it in those words. But it's also common sense of how it works. If we know right now, based on all the reporting for the better part of the last month, really, certainly since training camp time, that they're looking for DK Metcalf money, then it stands to reason they probably started somewhere higher than that, which is why, you know, 35 makes sense, 34, I don't think that's unreasonable, not to ask for it, which you're not getting, but to assume if they're in the 32, 33 range now that maybe they started a couple mil higher than that, that's always kind of been the expectation or the assumption, I think,
right,
that a lot of us have made. If they're at the Metcalf money, they started higher. If the Commanders are at $25 million, they may have even started lower.
Mm-hmm.
And just going both ways on this thing. The other interesting thing about this is, if we think about it, Danny, that, you know, from both the agent side of things and the team side of things, we're constantly trying to figure out who's telling who what.
Right.
This Charles Robinson stuff sounds more like it's team friendly.
It very much does.
Is Charles Robinson have a relationship with Adam Peters? I don't know. Is he have a relationship with someone in the front office? Very possible. I think we could be at a point, though, where maybe somebody from another team has the intel, either from the agent himself or a game of telephone, or maybe the Commanders talk to somebody with another club at some point, and then they're passing it along to the media now. That is very possible. But this is definitely, to me, not coming from the agent. When you're saying the team scoffed, the team was taken aback, the offer was so substantial, all we can do is believe the reports is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they are. I don't know if this is accurate. I don't know if the Jeremy Fowler stuff, which was clearly from the agent, which was more anti-team, I would say, I don't know if that's accurate. People get upset that they're like, you guys don't know what's actually being offered. You're right. But unless somebody wants to tell us, we just have to go with the reporting of the people that get paid a lot of money with mm-hmm. good sources to get this information.
Yeah, we're going on context clues here as well. I think, for sake of argument, if McLaurin's camp had said, 26, I think it's over now, right? But of course they didn't. We're at this impasse. We're now approaching the second preseason game with an unsigned deal. So, yeah, it tells you that numbers would have to be far enough apart where we don't just do the average of the two and we walk away a little bit disgruntled but mostly happy. There's some context clues here as well. You see some of these reports. This is kind of the angle that I was waiting for. And this now I realize for me there's some confirmation bias at play here, and I'm fully aware of that, and I'm acknowledging that. This is kind of what I always thought was really happening. And the agent, as he's making sure that, you know, Terry's on his speaking tour at Eastern Motors, where your job's your credit, and, you know, little mini press conferences with their meeting of the minds and trade demands when nobody's around, etc. I always got the sense that the agent overshot. That's always what I felt like, because the to me is the unstoppable force here is he's under contract this year for less than they're talking about, for a lot less, and the team has the franchise tag in their back pocket. They've always had more leverage because of the CBA and you know, the way the league is set up. So I always felt like asking for outrageously more than that, whether you believe Terry deserves it or not, I think is a separate category. What is the pragmatic reality is that they don't have to pay anywhere near what he's talking about or what he was asking for. And there was either a refusal to acknowledge that or a desperation that people wouldn't acknowledge that or whatever, and the public pressure of, oh, but it's Terry would win the day. Clearly has not with the team and the org. So this is the kind of the angle I was waiting for from, you would think, as you correctly or smartly, I think, deduced, is, yeah, they were asking for crazy stuff. That didn't make any sense, and why would we do that? Like, they could have gotten their word out some way at some point instead of just getting beat up in the court of public opinion for a while. This maybe is the first, punchback in that regard without specifically coming out and running the player down at a press conference.
He's Danny Ruiz. I'm Grant Paulson. You're listening to The Fan. These are the thoughts of Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, who's got some insight on what's going on with Terry McLaurin. This is from a show that he did with Andrew Siciliano. All right, so Robinson on Terry McLaurin's age being such a problem here, and this idea that the team continues to tell the agent, it sounds like, guys that are the same age as your client don't get the money that you're asking for, period. That's kind of the beginning and the end of their argument.
To me, I think the Commanders have approached this from the standpoint of looking at the metrics of receivers who are going to be playing in their 30th year, what kind of contracts have those players signed, other than Tyreek Hill, right, signing a deal in the 30th year. Devontae Adams signing a deal that took him into the 30th year of when he landed with the Raiders. You do not have players signing anything above like $23 million annual average values. There's just not a lot of receivers who ever have done that, maxed out beyond $23 million in annual average value, which affects the guaranteed money. So you have Adam Peters and you have the Washington Commanders sitting there staring at this and they're going, we want to pay you more, right? We're effectively looking at you and we're saying you're making about $23 million a year right now. We are willing to pay you more than that. We don't know that we can get you to 33, right? We don't know that we can get you. We feel like that is still an astronomical ask.
Charles Robinson of Yahoo.
That sounds pretty team, doesn't it? When we're just sort of thinking about who benefits, what
but
we're talking
he's
about.
He's literally speaking from the team's perspective
yeah,
in
like,
the
hey,
cut.
We want to pay you
we
more.
We can do this. We. He's giving the team perspective.
Yeah.
It came from either
mm-hmm.
indirectly another team, another agent, or somebody who is telling him what happened and he's on the team's side, or just somebody with the team spoke to him. One of those two things is true. Is the information exactly accurate? I don't know, but just like I did with Fowler, I'm going to assume that it is. It's
yeah.
what I got.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I got right now. But he is right, and this is the problem for McLaurin. We've come back to this over and over again since Courtland Sutton got $23.5 million. You can't be 30 and get $32, $33 million. It just doesn't happen. He points out a couple of cases of the rare future Hall of Famer types like Devontae Adams that still produce and still get paid into their 30s. But by and large, when you see the Mike Evans contract, when you see the Courtland Sutton contract, when you see guys the age of Terry McLaurin, sorry about it, man. You just, the window closes on the big contract at your age. Now, the agent is saying, but he's got less experience than those guys. He's got less tread on the tires than those guys. Or more tread on the tires. You know, he's got less miles on the odometer than those guys. And the team's going, that's great. It's the age that matters. The age is when you don't get paid like you want to be paid anymore. And we can't do it because nobody would do it. Which brings me to the next cut I want to play here from Charles Robinson, which is him suggesting that there's not a team out there that would trade for Terry McLaurin right now. Whatever you'd have to give up draft pick-wise, which going into the final year of a deal and having to pay him is probably not what Washington fans would be that excited about. I would think it'd be like a mid-round pick. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes.
He's saying nobody would do that and then want to pay him the $30 million that it would take, which I think I'd like to argue with, but let's hear the cut.
Part of the variables in this, no other team wants to pay Terry McLaurin $30-plus million a season either. They just don't. And I don't mean this as like disrespecting him at all. He's a very, very good receiver. It's just the economics at that position have created this tier, this top tier at $35 to $40 million that is wreaking havoc because everyone's trying to figure out who's in that next tier, how big is that next tier, and then who kind of gets pushed down to a third tier.
That's pretty stunning to me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't agree with it, but that's kind of letting you know the perspective of that side of the negotiation, right?
I mean, has he talked to 31 teams?
Nobody would pay $30 million bucks. I mean, again, it depends on your circumstance, right? If you're knocking, like Kansas City's knocking on the door right now, right, as a championship contender. I'm not saying they would or wouldn't here, but you know what I mean? Like, I got Pat Mahomes. I got a great defense. They wouldn't do 30? Like, there's no way the Bills would? Like, again, who knows what the cap room is? But you know what I'm saying? Like, the idea that a contender wouldn't do it after giving up a late third or a supplemental pick or a fourth rounder or something like that? I don't know about that. But to me, the angle is, and then this is the less popular one, we don't have to do that from the team's perspective. Again, they're not going to say this because it sounds cold and cutthroat and you know, myopic and penny-pinching, but they got him this year under contract, and they got him next year for less than that 30 or this the thing that nobody would do, et cetera. So they're not budging off of that because they don't have to do anything other than just wait for him to come play football, which he's supposed to do or needs to do in order to kind of get to where he wants to go. The team has control here. If they were trading for Terry McLaurin to do what the Steelers did, right, in order to get him to agree to the trade, in order to get the team to agree to the trade, you probably have to give him more. If you were signing him to a free agent deal on the open market, you'd have to pay more. That's not the league. That's not this situation. They're sitting there waiting, going, you'll never convince us that we have to just overpay because you're a nice guy. There's an argument for that, by the way, but it's separate, and the team has discarded that, apparently.
Yeah, succinctly for me, he should be more valuable to Washington than he should be to anybody else. I don't see why he would be worth paying more elsewhere than here. Do you have a young, ascending star quarterback on a rookie contract that makes it okay to pay a guy like Terry McLaurin $30 million? If you don't, it's really, really hard to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Is your entire organizational structure right now to elevate and help your young quarterback? Otherwise, it makes it a little bit harder to do this. And then also just, well, you don't pay a guy for services rendered. You pay them for services not yet rendered. That's true. We can't pretend like services rendered is completely irrelevant either, that there's not
a track record, yeah.
It's not like there's a penny that gets shelled out because of that. There's a lot more than that. So my point in that would be, you've done it here. You've bled here. You've sweat here. This is your org. You're the fan favorite. That, you know, we got fans lining up for autographs, and only Jaden Daniels' line is longer at training camp, so to speak. He's going to mean more to Washington than other places. That said, circling back to this premise, nobody else would pay him $30 million. I don't agree with that right now, this moment. Pittsburgh, had they not have traded for DK Metcalf, to bring up the team that you did in your answer, they wouldn't have rather done the exact same thing they did and gotten Terry McLaurin. Now, you can say he's older. I understand that. But I think McLaurin is the type of guy that would fit in so well in that locker room and just a blue collar.
Fit in well everywhere, yeah.
But I mean, Pittsburgh's entire mantra largely is like, you know, if you're Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, eventually you're not going to be in the locker room. They've had some bad guys along the way, some bad apples. Takes a little while, but sometimes they weed those guys out. I would think that they would have done $30 million. I think the Patriots, if they could have had him for the right price this offseason, would have given him $30 million to pair Drake May with him instead of, you know, working on a deal with Saquon Barkley. I mean, remember what was the Odell Beckham Jr. contract last year with the Ravens? Didn't he get like $15 million or something like that?
He got more than we thought he was going to, yeah.
It was an absurd deal, I remember, on a one-year deal for him where the Ravens, who were a Super Bowl caliber team that needed a weapon, were like, yeah, this guy won't stay healthy and has been a pain in the butt who gets hurt all the time, but we'll give him a ton of money.
$15 million like overall.
Yeah, a couple of years removed from being any good.
Yeah.
So nobody would give this guy $30 million? I don't know. I don't know if I can completely agree there. But I certainly get the premise. I get the point. Here's the last Charles Robinson take. I thought this was most interesting. On Adam Peters as a negotiator. Listen to this from C. Rob.
I had one executive when I was kind of, you know, going through my paces, and I reached out to somebody who knew Adam Peters really well, and I said, you know, what do you think of this situation? And he said, I think people are going to find out a lot about Adam Peters right now because I do not like negotiating with him. He has an edge to him that people, I think, don't necessarily understand. And they're going to see that now in this negotiation. And I think they have in some respects because Adam Peters has been pretty clear. He's not going to budge.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
An edge to him that people don't understand.
Ooh.
Did he say it was an agent that told him they don't like negotiating with him?
I think it was. I'm not sure who he was referring to.
Play that part of the clip again or the beginning of the clip again. I couldn't tell if it was another front office guy or an agent that told him this.
See, he's supposed to say
I had one executive when I was kind of, you know, going through my paces, and I reached out to somebody who knew Adam Peters really well, and I said...
Another executive. I don't like negotiating with him. He's been a hard ass. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
You can't escape that.
We have learned that about Adam Peters in this process. Doesn't even mean he's wrong, but it's definitely a tell. But how about that? I don't like negotiating with him. People are about to learn a lot about Adam Peters. Well, we are.
Yeah. We're finding this out.
I don't care what you do for this organization. You better not be asking for more money than I think you're worth, because I will drag you through the coals.
24/7, 364, he's texting your loved ones about your ankle, then it's fine, and you know, making sure everybody's taken care of and gracious and kind and thoughtful. On that extra day, that last day, that 365th day, you're losing the negotiation against him.
It's just business.
Yeah.
From Tim to open up the show. Kevin, I agree with your caller. The Terry saga is killing the vibe. Good morning, everybody. Mike Jones is going to join us on the show at 11 a.m. Ben will join us from training camp at noon, and you'll hear some of my conversation with Fred Smoot yesterday about some of his observations about the team. Yeah, we had somebody call yesterday or the day before, Max. It may have been yesterday, and the caller said, look, this thing is dragging on so long, it's actually killing the vibe, killing the excitement that I had for the season this year. And I answered it honestly, from my standpoint, it's not killing it for me. Part of that, I think, is because, again, I know he's going to play. He has to play. Like, the Kime story yesterday really highlighted a couple of things, some of which we've talked about and some of which we really haven't emphasized enough. First of all, he did have that source, league source, that said, Their belief is that Washington would come up to $28 million a year. So they would come up from, let's just say, 25 to 28, $50 million guaranteed, somewhere in that range. Terry's going to have to give here. You know, he's got to get off that DK Metcalf thing and come back. But for me, it's like the part of the story where it's like the reason they're not budging in this, you know, from this impasse from their side is their analytics say that once a receiver turns 31, which would be Terry's the second year of this contract extension, the receiver position, receivers, even the great ones, start to diminish. Their performance starts to drop off, and sometimes significantly drop off. And we can talk about, you know, Terry not getting all the snaps as a college player and being a young 30 and coming off his best season, his age 29 season, and all of that. But they are, you know, basing a lot of this on the analytics of the position as it relates to age. And then the other part of this is what they, with what they have coming down the road, and not even talking about the Jaden deal 2 years from now, but next summer, next offseason, Laremy Tunsil, Frankie Louvu, potentially Marshawn Lattimore, Deebo Samuel. They don't want to set a precedent that says, hey, we're here to overpay everybody, especially the really good guys, and if you hold out, we're going to succumb. We're going to eventually bow to your demands and pay you what you want. They do not want to set that precedent. You know, I had this thought, and I was talking to Tommy earlier this morning, that, you know, they don't have to offer him this. You know, from their perspective, part of this may be, look, you know, you guys are looking at this all wrong. We don't have to do this. He's under contract for his age 30 season. We control the ability to make him play for us in his age 31 season if we want him by way of franchise tag. We don't need to give him generational $50 to $60 million worth of wealth into his bank account. We have him under contract. We have control over him over the 2 years that we think he's got left before his performance starts to drop based on, you know, the analytics of the position and the age. We're actually offering him a long-term contract extension because we do like him, because we do respect him. We do want him to play for us this year and next year. But we don't have to do it. Back to Tim and the caller from yesterday. It's not killing the vibe for me because I understand that Terry has, like, no options here. He's got no cards to play because he's under contract and because this is really his last best opportunity to sign a deal that'll put $50 million plus into his bank account and set him up for life. If he's not already set up for life already, which he is, I mean, hopefully he's managed his money from his first contract extension well. So I don't feel that way because Terry's going to play. I still would prefer that Terry get in now. Like in the next, and I said yesterday, next 10 days, within 10 days, because that takes us through the Baltimore, the last preseason game. If he's not in within the next 10 days, it now becomes a point of sort of diminishing returns for the team. Because now the work he's getting is essentially the lead up to the opener. What incentive at that point do they have to give him a long-term contract if they're not interested or they think the 2027 season is when his performance really starts to drop off? It's not killing the vibe for me. What would kill the vibe for me is if number five got hurt or number five was somehow, you know, not having, like, he was so bad and everybody's talking about how bad he, actually, that would just raise the stakes for me because I would double and triple and quadruple down. If people were telling me what a bad camp he was having, and let's just say he goes out on Monday night and throws three picks in three series, you know, they put him out there for a third series because he threw two picks and he throws the third, I would quadruple down that he's not going to do that during the regular season. But I'm wondering, like, for all of you, there is a part of the Terry saga that is getting old. Now, it's interesting. You know, and we knew going into this thing that it was going to be a little bit tricky because of his age and because if he thought of himself as one of the truly elite receivers in the game, that was going to be an issue. That would be an issue and should have been an issue with the team. He also had, you know, an agent where Terry is by far and away his biggest client. And the last deal that Terry signed was the biggest deal the agent's ever done. So this would be the biggest deal, followed by the deal he did 3 years ago as his top two deals as an agent. It's not killing the vibe for me as long as Jaden Daniels is going to step out onto the field on Sunday, September 7th against the Giants with, by the way, number 17 on the field because he's got to be there, and Debo and Eckler healthy and others. Like, it's not killing the vibe for me. This is, by the way, part and parcel to being a team with expectations. You know, when you hit, when the big holdouts typically aren't publicized as much on teams that have over-unders of 5.5 and 6.5, like this team's basically had for, you know, a long time now. This team has playoff expectations, deep into the playoff expectations. And when you get a high-profile player on a team like Washington holding out, it's not unusual. It can drag on and on. It did with the 49ers and Ayuk. It has with the 49ers and Trent and others along the way. It is right now with Cincinnati and Hendrickson. It did to a certain degree with Watt and Pittsburgh. James Cook ended his holdout in Buffalo. It's certainly a part of our NFL experience every offseason and preseason. It is. It's just for us, it's happening with a player that we all like a lot, and it's happening in the first preseason leading into the first season in which there are legitimate playoff and deep into the playoffs expectations. And maybe that is putting a different sort of face on this. Because if they were a 7-10 team last year and had a 6.5 or 7.5 over-under win total, we'd be talking about it, but it wouldn't be killing a vibe. For a vibe to be killed, there has to be a vibe there to begin with, and there's a vibe. It's the most anticipated regular season as fans of this team we've had since, you know, I'll give Kevin and Arlington his due on this one, since 2004 when Gibbs came back, because that was an off season. That was an anticipation situation. We could say 2013, as we've talked about before, but there was all sorts of, you know, injury stuff. But 2013 was kind of a hyped season. It was. But it's been a long time, regardless of what year you want to point to and say, well, I was pretty pumped for that season. At 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, is this Terry impasse with the team? Is it draining? Is it killing your vibe? Is it diminishing your expectations or your excitement? Not expectations, but your excitement for the season. We had a caller say that yesterday. I had somebody else, you know, a couple of you write in and say you felt the same way, including Tim, who I read here at the beginning of the show, that the Terry saga is killing the vibe. It's not for me. But I'm not speaking for all of you. I'll let you do that at 301-230-0980. Max, what's it doing to you?
It's getting frustrating at this point because, I mean,
is it killing the vibe? Being frustrated is different than my excitement now is less than it was for the upcoming season.
It's not making me less. It's making me more worried about this team going forward and their depth at the wide receiver position. It's not killing like my vibe or my expectations, because I still am strongly in the camp that he will be there week one. He's going to be under contract. He has to play unless he really wants to, you know, pull himself out of games and kill his numbers a little bit in a way to just stick it to the team when it probably won't financially help him in many ways going forward, because they'll still be able to, you know, do whatever they need to do, whether that's sign him with the franchise tag or anything like that. But it's not really killing my vibe. It's just making me A, frustrated, and B, worried about the depth of this team.
Worried is different than less excitement. I understand the worry. I also understand the frustration of it not getting done, regardless of which side you're on. But, like, you know, I was so pumped up for the season, and now I'm not. Look, if they sign a contract extension, if they sign Terry to a contract extension in the next week, it's going to be right back to where you were. I would imagine you would be right back to where you were, Tim, and our caller from yesterday, and anybody else that feels this way. But if it continues to drag on and it continues to be a story right into week one, where, you know, Terry reports on Tuesday, what would that be, September 2nd?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Ready to practice and getting ready for the Giant game, because essentially he's playing on the final year of his deal. Look, some of you will be frustrated if he plays on the final year of his deal. If he plays on the final year of his deal, it is going to open up the team, if the team hasn't already been opened up, to scrutiny, to criticism, if offensively they don't play well. If they don't look like they did last year, if Terry doesn't have the season that he had last year, especially if he's not playing on a contract extension. If he's playing on a contract extension, they'll say, well, it happened too late. He didn't have enough time to get acclimated. And there's going to be a period of getting back into sync with Jaden and the new players on offense. But 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Has the Terry saga gotten to the point where it has started to drain some of the excitement about the upcoming season out of you? 301-230-0980. We'll take calls on that next.
So far, 39% say that they're concerned. I wanted to go through some of the tweets from people. You can always hit us up at Junks Radio. Here's one from Real Robert Anderson. He says, I've yet to see this defense play with the speed and intensity that Quinn's defense had his last year in Dallas. They were so fast the ball and rallied so well, it appeared they were playing with 12 players on defense.
I don't know.
Well, you didn't see any of the starters defense.
I saw Jeremy Reeves.
Now, they're older. I get it. So you might not see that even when the starters play.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll look a lot different. They wouldn't have gotten beat 48-18 if the starters were playing. Right?
Here's another one from KB. Tell us if you're concerned. He says, yes, because the team came out flat many times last year. Just gets overlooked because of great fourth quarter wins by JD. And sure enough, the backups came out flat and uninspiring. Way more concerning than score or starters not playing.
I hesitate to say this because should I say what I was telling you guys during the break? So I was telling Valdez, I was like, I don't think I want to say this on the air because, you know, it's a cheap shot. So I'll admit right now, I'm kind of making a cheap shot. But I was kind of put off by, like, B-Rob, who's been on our show a million times, who's, like, fighting for his professional life. And he was dressed like he was freaking Bono or something. Like, you know, he had the sunglasses on. He had a chain I don't even think Mr. T would wear. And it just looked like this guy just thought he was the world's biggest rock star. Was he was on the sideline? That's fine. Enjoy your day off, and you know,
instead of wearing just a regular t-shirt.
No, it just be you. That's fine. I don't care. It just there was just like a moment of like, but this guy, I think he's like Emmett Smith or something. Like, does he think he's Walter Payton? I you know, you got a seventh rounder fighting to try to take your job, and I don't know. For some reason that bothered me a little. That just bothered me. Because this is a team that's won nothing. We had a good season last year. We won nothing. You kind of had a disappointing season last year. And it's a cheap shot.
And then you see Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner just wearing
They're a little more down to earth. A little bit more down to earth. And listen, I think Brian's a fine guy. I'm just telling
you. Just didn't like it.
It's just a cheap shot. I admit it's a cheap shot. But it rubbed me the wrong way. That's all.
I can tell.
Right. Well, a lot of guys wear sunglasses at night in stadiums. You got the bright lights shining on your face. I don't think it was that big. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
I think people are just way too hard on Brian Robinson. I've been like hearing for a month now about Bill. And, I mean, the guy's playing against four stringer, and I saw nothing from him.
Brian Robinson is so far ahead on the depth chart than Bill right now.
Well, everyone's got to relax about that.
It's not close.
It's not close. You're so right.
Because we thought it was kind of close based on what we heard in the practices. It's not close.
Listen, it's just
B-Rob's the guy right now.
I'm not saying that Bill is a starter or anything. I'm just saying he's the guy that's getting all the attention.
Right.
And you're a guy that has it's been solid, but has not lit the world on fire. You know, Cakes has already got you looking for work. And literally about 4 months, you're looking for work.
Yeah. Well, Cakes has Bill as the starter in like week two or three.
Yeah.
But
I would say this about Cakes. Forget about Bill. He's probably right. Brian probably won't be here unless he's willing to take some sort of minimum salary deal. He probably won't be here next year.
Okay.
So.
But he's going to be here this year, and you got to rely on him.
Fair. I just thought he was playing the rock star thing a little bit too much for me.
You're put off by his job security.
Just by his confidence.
Okay.
A little bit too much confidence for a guy that rushes for 800 yards every year. That's all. A little bit too much confidence.
All right, let's see what the fans think.
All right, let's go to... But admittedly, that is a cheap shot by me. It means nothing. Admittedly, I'm admitting it's a cheap shot. Just telling you my inner thoughts.
Yeah, you're put off.
A little bit put off. I like a little more humble, just down to earth. And I think he's I'm not saying he's not a humble guy, but it's just the image of that is just like, you guys think you're a freaking rock star? Like,
it also doesn't help that you're giving up 50.
Yeah, we're giving up 50.
You know, he doesn't play defense.
True. It's true. All right, let's go to...
Is this your backwards hat bit? Your Colin Cowherd backwards hat bit?
It might be my Colin Cowherd thing.
It wouldn't have bothered Eric if the game was like Osaka and you're putting the boots to the Patriots.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
You needed somebody to lash out at.
But did you do a fit check on all of the players?
Yeah, he said Bobby Wagner was dressed modestly.
I think most
Wagner was.
Wearing team gear.
He's wearing t-shirt. It's fine. Whatever. It's a different culture.
I didn't even know.
I'm an old washed guy.
I noticed that he had the sunglasses. I just didn't notice what his shirt was.
I didn't even notice his shirt, but he had a chain that looked like as thick as my fist. Like, you know, this massive thing. Whatever. It's his life. I'm making a cheap shot. Mm-hmm. I admit it. Just telling you, it just kind of irked me. This guy thinks he's freaking Walter Payton. We barely, you know, get 4 yards of carry. All right, let's go to Dennis. Dennis in Reston, 800-636-1067.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Good morning, Dennis.
How you guys doing?
Hey, it's a Monday.
What's up?
Oh, okay, that's good because that game was a debacle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many things I could say. There's so many things and so many things everybody could say. But, you know, I'm going to pick out one thing. And I don't even know if you guys will zero in on it or pick. But this is one of the things that pissed me off the most about that game. And his name, and you guys are going to think this is insignificant. I know you are. But his number was number 22, and his name was Vigors. And that guy's That guy's display of tackling just was a display of the whole team, the whole game, okay? And you know what? By not having Terry there, and I know even if Terry was signed, I know he wouldn't even have been on the field that night. Mm-hmm. But you know what? This is a direct reflection of the whole thing. And you know what? These coaches deserved it. They deserved it, what they got, and I hope they – I'm just pissed off about it because they did not have this team ready. They did not have the team ready at all. And Adam Peters, if he doesn't get Terry – And if there's some person that's down there other than Adam Peters, some little guy wearing glasses in some dark office somewhere, okay, and I wear glasses too, so. But anyway, if there's some guy out there who's that we don't know about who's really screwing this deal up with Terry, he needs to be fired, okay?
Man, anyway, Dennis, you went from 0 to 60 in like two seconds.
I'm pissed off.
It's a preseason game. It's a preseason game.
That guy needs to be fired today. He needs to be fired today. He's taking people with his arms and trying to throw them down. And even the commentators that night made a big point of it. He sucks, and he's got to go today. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. I know that he's been a favorite of Keim. Keim's really loved him in camp. Although he admitted it's like that wasn't a good showing for him.
Right.
So we'll see. It's preseason. It's one game. Try not to get too carried away. But it's not great to go out there and have a 50 spot dropped on you.
He's a third team corner.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get too carried away.
Let's go to Reggie in Silver Spring. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Reggie, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hi, Reggie.
Hey, I'm really disappointed. I'm embarrassed, actually. And right. I'm tired of hearing the fact that it's a preseason game.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't play our starters. We played our reserves. We played our rookies. But we had almost 100 yards in penalties, no discipline, no offense. And the coach is saying, it's just preseason. I've seen other teams this weekend at least play their starters for a series or two. You got to get in the groove. And I'm sitting here watching, like you said, the guys with the big chains and the sunglasses and just chilling on, pizza on the sideline. We're not ready, guys. I'm telling you. I took my jersey and I turned it inside out, man. We're not ready.
Wow. Man. All right, thank you. It did make
Have you lost faith already after what you saw last season from Quinn, Peters, and the players on the field? Don't you think they've been through this rodeo a million times before?
Yes.
I mean, what is this? Probably Dan Quinn's 30th training camp?
Yes. But you just would hope that they would just show out better. It's a reflection on the whole entire organization. When you go out there and get smoked like that, those guys are representing us, even though it's going to only be for a few weeks. They're representing our organization and went out there and laid an egg.
They're just looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is they want their starters ready.
I agree.
They want them healthy, number one.
I agree.
And they're getting their reps in practice.
I agree. And, there were some very, very positive things from the joint practices. Jaden being one of them. Jaden looked sharp, just continuing his development. And I think he's going to elevate the entire team, right, when he's in there. But they've also said in these joint practices that the receivers are lacking at the top end. Without Terry in there, it's like jarring. Like, they're noticing it. We're not being as productive through the passing game without them. It's relying on Zach Ertz, dump-offs to Austin Eckler, maybe a little Luke McCaffrey. Like, it's not scary. Little Debo.
Yeah.
It's not scary.
They missed Deami Brown?
That's why I want to see a couple of those first-team receivers Monday.
Yeah.
Now, well, you're not going to see Terry. But I'd certainly want to see Debo.
I don't expect big things from him this year, but Luke McCaffrey caught one ball, right? Mm-hmm. Sam Hartman threw it like 3 yards behind him on a quarterback screen.
Well, I think also maybe did Luke even like stop halfway through the game because he was sick? I think Luke McCaffrey played that game.
Under the weather.
Yes.
I read that.
All right, let's go to Kevin in D.C. Kevin, what's up, buddy? You're over the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Comments.
Yeah.
One. Wait till you get a bigger contract, the chain gonna get bigger. Two, it's 30 players that play. Half of the players are gonna be on the practice squad. I think we're reading into it a little too much.
That's fair. Fair.
Number five wasn't on the field, guys.
No, I know.
Right.
I know. But still,
half of them guys are gonna be practice squad players will release. So we're reading into it a little too much.
100%. I totally agree with what you're saying. But you're representing the organization. 15 penalties ain't a great look. You did have basically, until proven otherwise, you're starting special teams out there. They got smoked on the opening play. You bring in a new kicker. He embarrasses us. I mean, there are some things that
he wasn't embarrassing.
About.
He missed one kick.
Yeah, but he's our big signee.
Okay, but kicker. I mean, how many guys miss kicks in preseason? I mean, it happens all the time.
They do.
That wasn't embarrassing. I wouldn't call it embarrassing.
All right,
he didn't go 0-for-3.
All right, maybe I'm being a little harsh on
him. I think you are.
Maybe I'm being
He made his other field goal, and he made the extra point.
I love kickers. I love kickers, but that was a little
bit
disappointing.
Let's not kill Matt Gay just yet.
Yeah.
Now, if he's missing critical kicks in week one or week two, all right, different story.
All right.
You're a little let down.
Well, you just want to say, can you just rip one? Just rip one. Rip the first one. I don't know.
Hit a 37-yarder.
Let's go to Joe in Bowie. Joe, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you, my friend?
Hey, man, I just want to call and just talk about how people just overreact in this whole thing. I remember when the Skins with Gibbs.
Mm-hmm. The year they lose all the time. Yeah, I know.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, we get it.
They lost 45-0 to the Jets at the University of South Carolina, a game they played down there. It's just crazy.
Understood. It's still embarrassing.
So when you watched the game, you weren't disappointed.
You were embarrassed a little bit.
No, I was. I was. But good Lord, I don't think the season's over.
Nobody said that. We just said it's embarrassing.
You're saying have some perspective.
I mean, was this the biggest blowout in the preseason? Had to have been.
I don't know.
I'm just saying I watched it, and I was disappointed. I was embarrassed, and I couldn't wait for the longest game in the history of the world to end.
I hear you, man. I was definitely disappointing, but I don't think the season's done. So
Nobody's saying that. I'm just saying you do store it, though, and you put it on in your dresser, and you go, if they start committing penalties all over, you're going to say we saw signs of that in the first preseason game. Hey, remember, even in practice, they made a big to-do about Jaden throwing a guy out of the huddle because of jumping offside.
That did happen. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know what lineman it was, but it did happen.
I actually think it was a receiver.
Oh, okay. I think it was a receiver.
It might have been Moore. I'm not sure.
Chris Moore.
I thought it was an offensive lineman, but anyway, he did make a big deal out of that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason, hey, listen, it was the biggest blowout.
Here's the other thing
that
Jets
I know. Won by 20.
Yeah.
Of course, the Commanders lost by 30.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I do know, but this is a hallmark of a bad team. I'm totally used to going out there and being humiliated and then playing a totally different game the next week and, like, knocking off the Steelers when they're 11-0. Or, you know, stealing one against Philly somehow. Like, I'm used to that. I'm used to losing to, like, a Bengals or some team I had no regard for back in the day. A Browns team or something. And then the next week, like, against Green Bay and freaking Aaron Rodgers being there, getting a win. But that's the mark of a bad team. A good team shows up every week. Again, these are bums, relatively speaking. I understand that.
Well,
but I just want a little consistency.
But you even want your bums to play really well.
To not jump offside.
Well, I mean, these guys are trying to win jobs.
Yes.
So I would think that the bums, that you call them the bums, would make enough plays to say, you know what, Coach DQ, I deserve to be on this roster.
Right. They're not here to go through the motions.
Yeah.
They want to put good tape out there.
Right.
They want to play well.
Those guys put a lot of bad tape
out
there. Yeah, I know. They put a lot of bad tape.
I think, again,
it doesn't mean anything at this point for week one. It means literally zero at this point.
But would you say the overreaction is coming from last season was an amazing season, and now football's back, and you're kind of ready and you're anxious, and then all of a sudden it was
opening kickoff,
well, dud.
There's a little bit of concern in the back of my mind. Maybe nobody else will say this.
No, but you were ready. You're ready for football. You have an optimistic view on this season,
and it was
Then all of a sudden,
let's actually have a drive or two. But Hartman was so bad. But there's a little bit of concern in the back of my mind that, and again, these guys aren't even playing, so you got to always temper it. But sometimes teams, you know, they win a Super Bowl or something, and then they have that hangover the next year, right? They just kind of a dud follow-up season. Yeah. So we didn't win a Super Bowl, but we had a kind of like a shocking
NFC
season.
NFC Championship.
I've labeled us the sexiest team in the league. Everyone's all in on DQ. Everyone's all in on Jaden. Everyone's all in on everybody. There's a little bit of fear in the back of your mind until proven otherwise. I hope we could live up to it in back-to-back years.
You can always spin the season how you want to. Last year they were 7-5. And then they ripped off 5 straight. And in those 5 straight games, they beat Will Levis. They beat Trey Lance. They beat essentially Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
They had a fortunate run. They beat Spencer Rattler.
But then
and
the
Jake
counter
Hainer.
Is they beat a good Buccaneers team.
Yes.
And they beat a dominant Lions team.
Right.
They embarrassed them.
Yes.
That's the team I want to see every week.
Yes.
That's the team I want to see.
The team that never punts.
All right, 800-636-1067. Bang out your calls when we come back.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. We're in a tent in Ashburn, Virginia. There are those damn lantern flies flying around.
They keep attacking you. I think something up with
you. I got that sweet blood, B.
Nah, man. It must be that lantern fly blood.
Those lantern flies are bad news, man.
They say now dogs can find them. They're using dogs to track them down.
Dogs?
Yeah, I was watching the thing on news last night. Actually, right before I saw your big ears.
Appreciate that. Appreciate you watching. Yo, speaking of the news last night, Seagraves told me something in the newsroom yesterday that I did at least want to relay. And this is not to cause concern prematurely. One thing you and I said a bunch, B, when you had some of the council members politicking saying they weren't sure about the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
When the U.S. Senate gave D.C. control of the land again, and it was 99-0, mm-hmm. The first bullet point was we want a stadium, right? Yeah. And so the D.C. council budget every year has to get approved through the Senate, right? Or the Senate and the House. And what you and I kept going back to was like, yeah, good luck sending that budget and not building a stadium because they're going to send it back to you. Now, I think 99 times out of 100, the D.C. budget just gets approved. Everything's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing to watch, Seagraves said, and he said it's premature and a lot of this hasn't happened yet, but with everything going on with Trump and the federal government and the D.C. police and everything, he said one thing to keep an eye on, the commander's money is in the budget and has been approved. If when the House and the Senate get back to town, I guess they come back after Labor Day or whatever, mm-hmm. must be nice. When they go to vote on the D.C. budget, if at that point you get more politicians politicking and they're like, well, we don't approve of the police budget, and they send it back, that would also send back the commander's money.
Yeah, but the thing about it is I wish a lot of people open their eyes and stop being hoodwinked. If you don't give people money to run something, it ain't going to be good, right?
Right. Now,
so let's get past this stuff, man.
All Mark's
BS.
All Mark said is he's like, they have the votes, it will happen. If that potentially happens, that's another one of those damn lantern flies. I'm going to get it. You ready, B?
You missed it.
I got him. That joint is dead.
Nah, go wash your hands before you touch me.
I'm going to try to flick it at you.
Ready? And I'm going to flick this bottle right at you.
Oh, I would have gotten Derek if he didn't get up. Lantern fly 0, JP 1, Purell hand sanitizer for the win. I hope you caught that on the stream, White Brian. Post that video. Let the world know how athletic I am.
Hey, don't do that. Somebody going to be mad at you for killing something.
Doug, the scientists, we're supposed to kill those things.
Yeah, but you got some idiot out there going to tell you, no, you should never kill anything.
Yo, if there's a lantern fly advocacy group, go jump off a bridge.
Bleep you.
Yeah, bleep you to the lantern fly advocacy group. So, in short, the budget thing is only a hypothetical at this point. If it even happened, would just be a delay for RFK, like they clearly already have the votes. But for football fans, just one more wrinkle in what's going on in our city.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have this Charles Robinson audio I want to get to, but I did want to do something real quick. Nikki Jabala is a friend of the program. Like, we're actually friends with Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki's a very good reporter. You got to be careful with these aggregators, man. So somebody on Twitter, I'm guessing Nikki did a radio hit or a podcast or something, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to name names because I don't want to, like, promote the person, no. Right? And I think I've interacted with this person. I don't think there's malice intended here. But the tweet was...
Well, why do it? If it's not factual, why do it?
Well, the tweet was, Commanders reporter Nikki Jabala said, I'm at the point where I'm like, yikes, they have problems when talking about the Commanders training camp vibe. And this tweet started to gain some real steam. And what I will say, the person could have tagged Nikki in it, right, and did not, which maybe there is malice intended.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki, good for her, responded, taken out of context quite a bit, I wasn't referring to the whole team. And I'm glad Nikki responded, set the record straight. I am also setting the record straight on her behalf and just on the whole. Be careful when you see aggregated stuff, because a lot of times it's not – sometimes it's just pure, not factual, and a lot of times it doesn't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
All right. But I feel like we're clearing stuff up, B.
Yeah, just don't bring them to the air. Just don't talk about that little topic sometimes. Hell with them.
Killing lantern flies.
Shut them down. Let them keep moving.
Knocking over tripods. We got a lot going on in the tent. Now, Charles Robinson is a NFL insider for Yahoo Sports, and he spoke of the Terry McLaurin Commanders contract situation.
You know, when negotiations first opened, I think the Commanders were a little stunned by initially what Terry McLaurin and his camp were really gunning for in those negotiations. I mean, we're talking.
What does he want? Do we know?
Top 32. So I think everyone's being careful about not saying what the initial number was, but I will say it was what the initial number was high enough that it almost completely broke down conversation instantaneously between the two parties. Like, I think the Commanders were stunned at initially what the ask was. And to me, the inference is this was like nearly top tier, tier one money. So are we talking $35 million annual average value? Are we talking, you know, beyond 35? Are we talking creeping up to 40? Like, what was the initial ask? I think as things moved for both sides, I think we got to this point of the DK Metcalf contract. And the $33 million a year, the $60 million, $60-plus million dollars guaranteed.
Okay, B. Mm-hmm. I think that's what, you know, reports have kind of hinted at, that the ask was significant and Washington was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
On Terry's side, I think the initial offer was probably pretty low, too.
Yep.
I also think we're at a point now where the initial conversations, the initial ask, the initial offer really isn't that relevant anymore.
Nope. Let's get past it. Let's find a way to get the deal done, okay? Because what he initially asked for doesn't mean nothing. But if you – just like I always say about not only scouting the other people, scout yourself too. If you go back and you scout that yours was ridiculously low, you might want to say, okay, that was a little a slap in the face. Let's try to figure out something. Then you come together when people see you moving. But if you just offer something low and stick there, you're going to make somebody have to say, okay, we'll see. And if it's too high on the other side, then you got to adjust your stuff as well.
The thing I completely agree with you is we have reached make it work time.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's time to make it work. Also, a couple of tryouts today. Jordan Schultz reports that the Commanders hosted veteran offensive tackle George Fant for mm-hmm. a visit. Fant has been in and around the league for some time, played with the Seahawks, played with the Jets. Last year, he only played in two games for the Seahawks. Mike Garofolo, I believe, reported that the Commanders also worked out veteran offensive tackle Cam Fleming. What do you make of tackle workouts for Washington?
Is it to get people through training camp?
That's kind of my thought. And specifically, if you know Coleman's not going to play, then Wiley's going to be at tackle.
Yep.
Connerly's going to be at tackle. However much those guys play,
probably don't want to be Scott the whole damn game.
Somebody's got to come in after them.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, these are the type of vets that have been around that can certainly handle preseason work.
Be very serviceable.
I don't necessarily think this is a regular season move.
Uh-huh.
But a little bit of me wonders if Tunsil will play in preseason. And if this isn't just a little bit of kind of insurance for that, you know what I mean?
It could be, but I think at this point right now, the things we thought would not happen whatsoever, should that be adjusted a little bit as well? Because you're not getting that work, as you stated earlier, with the veterans against the Ravens, so you want to get some legitimate work.
Yeah.
Or you're comfortable enough with certain people the way you don't need it.
It's something interesting. You know? Yeah.
Like I understand it's different than what it was. But I still watch every year, the first 2 to 3 weeks, I see a lot of stuff that probably could be avoided if they had put a little bit more emphasis on the previous 3 weeks or previous 3 weeks out of four.
Do me a favor. Check out that clip I just posted in the group thread. I tweeted this out. Our guys from Channel 4, Kerwin and Derek, got this video of Javon Kinlaw in warm-ups. I think that is Carl Davis he's going up against. look at just the strength in his hands. And, you know, I've been pretty impressed by Kinlaw throughout. I think there's a lot of people running with Pro Football Focus grades from a bad defense. I'm starting to feel pretty bullish on Kinlaw. You see this? You see the strength in his hands?
That was more in his hands, Jay.
I mean, that's his that's butt.
The bat. that's that thrust right there, dog. He got a that's everything.
What is the number of the big fella? He kind of stands right up there. I think that's Carl Davis. I don't want to say it definitively, but if you want to see that video, I tweeted it out at JP Finley NBCS.
All I know is like when he hit him, if his neck, I know his neck is going that tight because he could have knocked
at
that off.
Sheldon Day.
Yeah, it looked Sheldon like Sheldon Day. with the dread.
Yeah, Sheldon Day. dude, what do you think the chances are Kinlaw just has a monster year?
I think he's going to impress some people. I think what people were saying when he got signed is going to be making them go back and say, man, I was wrong. I don't think these people made those moves to get him in here if they felt he was done. Especially with a guy like Joe, who basically don't want no duds around him.
No duds allowed. When we come back, we got to make some bets, see if we won or lost last night. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, Grant and Danny coming your way at 2 o'clock.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.